Well, the Bible, what a wonderful book it is. I was reflecting on this as I was preparing this message because it contains the truth about life. I was sharing today with two young people who have come to church recently at lunchtime, and I said, when we talk about Christianity, Christianity is marketed sometimes as come become a Christian and everything will be fine. Well, everything is not fine. There are great challenges. There are great troubles. There are crosses to bear. There is evil in this world that it will oppose what is good and right and true. There are people who will be jealous of you. There are people who will be critical. There will be people who undermine you, who falsely accuse you. All sorts of things will happen. Jesus said this. So come and become a Christian. But what are we telling people? Are we presenting the truth to them? Well, the Bible does that. The Bible presents the truth of what it is to be a Christian. Of course, the end of the story, as we know, is a wonderful thing for those who love God and keep his commandments. But for those who do not love God and do not keep his commandments, the end is seriously trouble. The Bible tells us about the world itself and about God, and his wisdom gives us his wisdom to face the challenges that this world presents to us so that we can overcome evil. Now, we've been looking at the stories of Elijah and Elisha, particularly in the last few months. And were these men having comfortable lives? Were they sort of, just enjoying the balm of Caribbean islands and they experienced tremendous challenges. They were brought into contact with evil and they were called to challenge the evil. And the troubles faced by many different people in the days that they were living. Godly folk who had children who got sick. And we know both Elijah and Elisha, they prayed for these sick ones, ones that even died. There were troubles. Godly servants were treated with disdain and trampled upon. Greedy tendencies in man, Gehazi. Remember the servant of Elisha. Elisha who wouldn't take any of the gold and treasures of Naaman as he came. But Gehazi, who went after him. What happened? The resultant judgment of God upon Gehazi, he was leprous for the rest of his days. This is a world full of troubles and difficulties. Well, in the last 2 weeks, we've been observing the raising up of Jehu. Jehu, now there's a character in the Old Testament. Jehu is the Cyrus of his day, or the Donald Trump of his day. He went and did alarming things, and yet God had appointed Jehu to bring judgment upon the wickedness of Ahab and Jezebel and the whole household. He had told Elijah, and Elisha had passed that on to Elisha, that Jehu was the one chosen. And he was to be king of Israel for a period, but particularly to bring judgment on Ahab and Jezebel. Over all these things, the thing that the scriptures shout out to us, God is on the throne. God is sovereign. A young man who came to church for the first time today, Peter, he said to me, I want to learn more about Reformed theology. I said, well, that's good. I'm glad you want to learn more about that, because Reformed theology, its basic foundation is the sovereignty of God. God rules. And his purposes cannot be overturned. The story of the Bible from beginning to end is of God ruling, providing salvation, in the end, destroying all evil. No one can fight God and win. And in this account tonight, which we're looking at with Athaliah, and let us put ourselves kind of in the position of living in Israel and Judah at the time of Athaliah, Ahab, Jezebel. It was oppressive to the extreme. We think we've got trouble in our own day, and we do have, but this was extremely oppressive. This morning, we looked at the response of Jesus to religious leaders who acted in self-reliance and superior judgment, wanted Jesus to prove to them that he was the Son of God. Jesus leaves them a sign. I mentioned this morning, the judgment of God is what he leaves them. The judgment of God upon sin. He points to the need to deal with sin because the outcome of those who fail to address their own sin is terrible judgment, as we've already seen with Jehu and his treatment of Ahab and his family and Jezebel. And tonight we move on to Athaliah. Athaliah, the only queen who ever ruled over Israel or Judah. Let's have queens. Athaliah, she's queen of Judah for 6 years, from BC 841 to 835, and the only female monarch to sit on David's throne. Athaliah was the daughter of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And do you remember Jehoshaphat? He made a marriage alliance with Ahab, nearly lost his life as a result, repented when he came back to Judah. But of course, the marriage alliance had been put in place. And Athaliah, being the daughter of Ahab and Queen Jezebel, married Jehoram, Jehoshaphat's son. Her time as queen is nestled amid centuries of evil monarchs who reigned over Judah and Israel. An avid Baal zealot. She worshipped Baal. Athaliah rivaled the wickedness of the kings who came before and after her. Her husband Jehoram was king of Judah until his death in 841 BC. Unlike his father, Jehoram was a wicked king. After Jehoshaphat, Jehoram came and he turned the people of Israel, of Judah, sorry, towards Baal and the gods of the king Ahab and Jezebel of Israel. Now, Jehoram had a son, Ahaziah, and he became king not even for a year, as Jehu came and killed Ahaziah as well as other members of the household of Ahab and Jezebel, and Athaliah saw her opportunity. Now she could reign and rule. Sounds like some movements today, spiritual movements. As I said to the Flourish Committee as they met yesterday, you are a precious committee. You are presenting the truth about womanhood so different to the world. But here we have the world's influence. But actually, it's the sinful influence. Because what does God say to Eve when she takes of the fruit of the forbidden tree and eats it? And God's judgment is, your desire will be for your husband's place, his position. You will try and take it. Is that true? All over the world, that is true. That is the sinful position. And here is Athaliah, absolutely worshipping Baal and saturated in the sinfulness, the jealousy. Of course, behind it is jealousy. Why? What was the infection that Satan brought in the garden? Satan was jealous. He wanted to reign. He wanted God's position. And as soon as Eve took of his fruit, she became jealous too. And whenever we touch Satan's territory, jealousy becomes an influence in our lives. Comparisons, we get jealous of people. Well, Athaliah was just like this. So Jehoram's son Ahaziah served as king of Judah for less than 1 year. He was assassinated along with Israel's ailing king, Joram, And their assassin was Jehu, who had originally been a commander in the King Ahab's army. The prophet Elisha had anointed Jehu, as we've seen, as the new king of Israel, and commissioned him as an instrument of the Lord to carry out God's judgment on King Ahab and his entire idolatrous family. Jehu's mission of ending Ahab's dynasty included putting Jezebel and her sons to death. Ahaziah happened to be visiting Joram when Jehu arrived, and he was assassinated at the same time. Athaliah received word that her son was dead. She seized the opportunity to usurp the throne by murdering Ahaziah's sons, all her grandsons. Just think of this. What sort of grandmother is this? Murdering all her grandsons, thus eradicating the entire royal family so she could take the throne. Here is evil rising up in the full strength of its influence. Is it going to defeat God? When evil rises up, there is that sense of what's happening. All of us feel a sense of uncertainty when this is happening. And you can imagine the people here living in Judah at the time. But unbeknownst to Athaliah, a single grandchild escapes the massacre. A single child. Jehosheba, the baby's aunt and the wife of the high priest Jehoiada, took the infant, Joash, and hid him and his nurse in a bedroom. Just one little baby is all God has in the midst of wickedness. What can God do with one little baby? I think you might have forgotten Jesus. What can God do with one little baby? He knows his instruments and who he is going to use to accomplish his purpose. As we read in the New Testament reading, exactly the same kind of influences were taking place, weren't there? There was Herod. He hears of the threat to his reign, and he has all of the children in Bethlehem under 2 years, all the boys, murdered. It looks like evil is going to triumph over the goodness and the reign of God. Except an angel comes to Joseph and says, you need to leave. One little baby escapes to Egypt. Who is reigning when evil appears to be reigning? Who is really on the throne? And this is what is so needed when we are facing these kinds of influences in our own time. You know, Athaliah used her influence to further establish Baal worship in Judah, establishing priests and building altars for her idol in the very temple of the Lord. She followed in the footsteps of her mother, Jezebel. She reigns for 6 years. But the high priest Jehoiada sets guards around the temple and publicly crowned the young Joash as the rightful king, as we'll see in the next portion of the scriptures, which we'll look at next time. Now, what is God wanting to say to us? Well, firstly, he wants us to be courageous like Jehosheba, who recognized the importance of rescuing this one child. But the Bible contains many instructions to us about wickedness, evil, people undertaking sinful things against us or against the people that we love. And David knows all about this in his life. Saul sought to kill him a number of times. And what instruction does David give us in the face of wickedness? He says this in Psalm 37, "Fret not yourself because of the wicked." Do not fret. Fretting is sin. We can easily do it, and we all do at times. But do not fret, David says. Be not envious of wrongdoers. And they do prosper for a while. They seem to get away with what they're doing. Even bringing false accusations against you. They seem to be defaming you and causing you to be of no account. But don't fret. God is on the throne. David says, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Jehosheba, who takes this little child, is trusting in the Lord and doing good. In the end, Joash is going to become a godly king. He's going to turn Judah back to the Lord. Trust in the Lord, do good. Dwell in the land. Befriend faithfulness. Befriend faithfulness. I was talking to this young couple today about life. You need to be faithful where God has put you. There are things to be faithful in. If you're called to be a husband, you be faithful. If you're called to be a wife, the same thing. If you're called to be a Sunday school teacher, you be faithful. If you're called to be an elder, a teacher, a leader, a pastor, you be faithful. Befriend faithfulness. I look at my dad and mum who've been married for 70 years. I said to them yesterday, well, we're trying to get there. We got 44 last Friday. But we're working at it. There's faithfulness. Befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. I love the story which I told this morning about Austin Appleby. There's this little boy. When I saw and listened to him, he was delighting himself in the Lord. He was delighting in the God he'd come to know through whatever source it was, through the church where he went or the Christian friends. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. But what was the desires of that little boy's heart? That his family would be rescued. And his honesty was so profound to me as he shared with the media how he felt guilty he hadn't got to the shoreline quick enough and perhaps they wouldn't save his mum. And he was exhausted, of course. He collapsed. But when his mum and brother and sister were rescued and brought safely to land, can you imagine this boy? This boy is just delighting in God. And Sunday Makama told me today that the BBC, who broadcast his story in the UK, of course the family came from the UK, in the UK, in just this weekend, they raised £200,000 and sent it to Austin for his education. How's he feeling now? Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. You know, when people do wicked things against you, don't try and defend yourself in the end. We all react like that and try and defend ourselves. But don't worry. God will act. With Saul, who was opposing David, God acted. Sadly, Saul took his own life. But God acted and removed him. He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. 6 years of oppression from Athaliah must have felt like, I don't know, a lifetime. But wait patiently for the Lord. Be still before him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. And this story of Athaliah is, yes, the rising of evil, the wickedness rising up, maybe in a sense to its full measure. But God brought it down. And God had in his sovereignty Jehosheba, who rescued Joash, just like the angels who visited Joseph in Bethlehem. God is ruling over the whole earth. So Reformed theology is the sovereignty of God. He is on the throne and he will have his way. And this is why David is saying, wait for the Lord. In Psalm 27, he says, take courage, wait for the Lord. Amen.